growing up, one of my favorite book series was called Animorphs. You read it too, didn't you?
Definitely read it. Very noticeable covers. If you read any of the books, you're very aware of, you know, you're probably picturing one of your favorite covers, probably because what animal you're like, that's the one I want to be.
And the whole premise of the books was these kids could transform into different animals and then back to humans into a bunch of different animals. But if you had to pick only one animal that you could transform into, what would you pick?
To me, the ability to fly is just so freaking cool that I'd probably pick some sort of bird of prey. Which makes me think of this. Literally yesterday, I was walking in from being outside, and down the side of my driveway, which is the side of my house, I saw, it was probably 15 feet up in the air, maybe 20 feet, there was a big old bald eagle carrying a dead rabbit
that he had
just caught. And I'm just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I immediately afterwards, I'm like, I have a miniature poodle.
Oh.
I can leave him out. You know, we put him out on a leash. You know, they go to the bathroom sometimes. Like, I was just picturing this coming out there and just being gone because a giant eagle. So I kept telling him, like, hey, buddy, be careful. There's an eagle on the loose here. And every time I told my wife, every time we see a bunny now, we're like, run, there's an eagle on the loose. He's killing bunnies everywhere.
Left and right. Oh, man.
You?
Dumb, but I feel like I would say the same thing. Like, I would want to fly, but if I couldn't do a flying animal, I would pick like an orca whale. Because, first of all, you don't actually
get stuck in SeaWorld and have a miserable life. That sounds perfect.
Yeah, it would be great. But I think in my head, I'm like, I would want to be an animal that's intelligent, even though you don't necessarily use your faculties in the Animorphs books. You still
you retain your human
ability to think, but.
Something echolocation. I feel it would be really interesting to actually
and they're also comprehend. They can just kill, destroy anything in the oceans. Like, there's nothing that a killer whale is afraid of other than a human. And so if you could transform back into a human, you'd be great.
Yeah.
So today we are, well, first of all, welcome to IndieQ. We're so glad that you're here again. And we are actually going to be covering the game Super Auto Pets today. Super Auto Pets is actually a free-to-play game. It's called an Auto Battler. And I've never experienced an Auto Battler before this game. But the premise of the game is you have pets, these animals, that you are pitting against other people's groups of animals. And you can have a maximum of 5 animals in your group. And you fight against other groups of animals.
You're kind of setting up a queue. And so it's the animals that are in the front are fighting, and each animal has stats. They have amount of health that they have, and they have amount of attack that they do to the animal that they're fighting up against. And then each different animal also has special abilities that you're able to like combo together and utilize, whether it be, you know, making it so that the health of and attack of other animals in your party is raised. There's different, you know, cascading effects that you can create to try to survive, and the goal of the game is to win 10 battles. And you're pitted, if you're playing on just like the normal arena mode, you're pitted against some other random person in the world who's playing the game, who's on the same exact turn as you, with the same amount of health as you, because if you lose 5 times, it's game over. So it's, I think it's an interesting concept, because it could be really unfair if you're like, I am on level, you know, my 8th round and you're on your 5th round.
Yeah.
Like, I would destroy you just because you have so much more time to build up your team.
So how each round works is you start the round, on a normal round, there are things that can change this, but you will start the round and you have 10 gold to purchase animals or purchase, it's called food or like items that you can use for your pets can use. And so the vast majority of things cost 3 gold in the game. There's one specific item that will kill one of your, or make one of your pets faint. And it will remove it from your thing, from your group of 5. So you're going to spend your 10 gold in whatever way you'd like to try to increase your abilities to defeat other teams.
And each time there's the shop that you're picking from.
Yes.
And as the game progresses, you have more and more options. Because when you start the game, each run, you only have 3 pets to choose from. But there is a, you can spend 1 gold to refresh the whole shop. And so it will basically, you know, a random number generator hits, everything rolls, you know, you don't see any of this, but, and then you'll have new animals and new items to select. And as the game moves along, you're going to end up having like 5 choices of
different pets,
and then a couple choices for the different items that you can get. And so utilizing that reroll mixed with trying to, you know, buy more animals, and then also figuring out when it's time to sell off animals that are currently in your party to get a little bit more gold to, like,
yeah,
because there are different tiered animals that, as you're moving throughout the level, you are gaining access to be able to randomly see some of these higher tiered pets show up in your queue that have higher power and strength and will have different, stronger combo potential.
Yeah. So there's different, you said the different tiers of pets. There's tier 1 all the way up to tier 6 pets, and you don't see this tier 6 pets until round, I should know the exact number. I think it's round 11 is the first time that you're going to see tier 6 pets naturally coming up in the shop. And so the game progresses just in that regard. So it starts with 1s, and then at round 3, you get level 2 pets that are going to be now available to purchase, and so on and so forth. And so when I first like brought this game up as an idea, I know, Paul, you were like, I don't understand how this game works. Like, what is exactly going on? And I remember it was the fact that you can combine, like, the same type of pet on top of each other to level them up. So if you have 1 pet, it's just a level 1 pet. But if you add 2 more pets and combine it together, so you had a ant, and then you put a second ant and then a third ant onto that same ant, it will be a level 2 ant and has a bigger ability. And so
every time you combine animals, it increases the attack and defense by 1.
Yes.
So it's figuring out, like, which abilities scale really well and benefit all the other stuff.
So
I still say it's daunting to step into. You're just like, none of these combos make sense. You don't understand, like, what animals are available and what you're working towards. Because this game, in my personal opinion, this is almost a deck builder.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of board game mechanics. It actually reminds me a lot of a very simplified Magic the Gathering, in the sense of, like, you have your attack and your defense, and you're just trying to use your attack and combo your cards. And like Magic, if you understand how things work together and are able to, you know, theory craft what combos are going to benefit me and how to counter different, you know, builds, that's when the game really, I think, unlocks for you.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of dedication to get to the point where you have encountered enough of the animals to really know what is available, unless you're going to be doing actually, like, studying of the game, watching other people play, watching guides on how to excel at this game.
And so I think I came into the game with a huge advantage, because the reason I even started playing the game is because I was watching streamers like Ludwig and some other people that were playing the game, and it just looked really interesting to me. I really enjoyed watching the content about Super Auto Pets, and so I already had a pretty good idea of what a lot of the different animals did, things like that. And so I actually didn't even realize at first that Super Auto Pets was on mobile. I thought it was only on the computer. And so I hadn't played it, but then I was just like, Super Auto Pets is free on Steam? I didn't realize that. So I ended up downloading it on my computer, and the first time I played, I had a very similar experience to you of being like, how do I actually win? This, like, it's way more difficult, even though I had, like, a lot of, like, prior knowledge just from watching other people play. But then it started clicking, and I had a lot of that background information was already, like, backfilled, whereas somebody coming into this game completely fresh, it's going to be like, what am I even doing, and why am I doing this? I don't understand how everybody is so much better than me.
Yeah. It took me a while to get to the point. I just had such an awful time when I first played, because it's just like, I understand how comboing works. I understand, like, the premise, what I'm supposed to be achieving. I could just never actually get combos together. And you can play it where it's like goes really slow and methodical and tells you what each animal does on its turn and why things are changing in each attack. Or you can play it like super sped up and just really fast. And the methodical is just too boring for me to want to sit through and like really understand.
Right.
And then fast, you're just like, wait, what the heck happened? Like, they had one guy left, and all of a sudden they had, like, four more super powerful guys. I'm like, where the heck did that even come from? Like, you can't, like, rewind or pause it to, like, see, like, oh, this is what they had. I think a rewind function would be so useful.
There actually is a rewind function.
See, it shows you how deep I looked into it.
Yeah, it's just, like, a little button in the top right corner of the phone. After you finish the battle, you can click on it and rewatch the last battle. And so, now you know.
Because there's so many times where I'm just like, I just got walloped and I had no clue what happened because I'm playing it at the fast pace.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just like play it fast and your thing just works perfectly and you just wipe the floor. And other times you're just like, how? Like,
yeah.
I had a guy with like 30 health and he's just gone. Like, and I didn't see what happened. He was in the middle of my queue.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's just disappeared. And I'm like, I have no clue what they did and how do I even like counter that?
And I think that this is a more recent thing that you were mentioning, how it will pit you against somebody else who's on the exact same, like, lives as you. Maybe they had to do that the whole time, but I noticed that recently as well, where it's like, I'm on, like, round 13, and I have 2 lives left, and I have 8 victories. And the person who I'm playing against has the exact same. So it's trying to put you up against people who are in the exact same position that you are. You've lost the same amount of games, you've won the same amount of games, and you are on the same round. I think that that's kind of a cool, like,
I don't think the game would work if it didn't do that. Just because even if we have equal number of wins, if you just didn't lose at all, and I'm on my last life, I could have 4 more, like, turns of buying stuff and leveling up my characters and have access to level 6 pets for more rounds than you have. So I just don't think the game is functional if it didn't do that.
Well, I know for sure that it's always been the same round, but now it's not just the same round. We could be both on round 13 and I have only 2 victories and you have 7 victories and I only have 1 life left and you have all 5 of your lives left. Like, because
that makes sense.
And they could potentially be that because you can draw as well. So you could potentially have your final pets both kill each other in the same final blow. It's kind of an interesting, like, just to watch it. Like, you have these 5 little pets that walk up against 5 other pets. And
it's 2D animated, very simplistic.
And it's like smash into each other. And it just, like, whatever the attack is from your guy will...
And then
we'll take off their health and vice versa. They hit each other at the same time.
And when the one dies, it like shoots off to the side of the screen.
And the next pet steps up into the fighting ring, right? And then now it does its thing until one of the sides is completely gone.
So this game is free to play. And I was pleasantly surprised at how the game did not feel like it was trying to take advantage of that. I've experienced a lot of just really sleazy free-to-play games to the point where I typically just avoid them like the plague now.
Yeah.
The only positive experience I probably have ever had in the free-to-play game is Fortnite, and I didn't play that much, but like, you had full access to the game. It's just cosmetic stuff changes. I remember being so frustrated with games where it's like you're playing but you only have 3 turns, and if you to get your 4th turn you have to wait an hour or
watch an ad or
along those lines, or you can pay some money and, you know, refresh your time quicker so you can try again, and just like all these microtransactions. You can buy like additional packs, but they're really reasonably priced, and there's only like 2 of them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, if you bought everything in the game, I think it was like $25.
Right.
So it's like, there's not any pay to win.
Not
it was
at all.
Never in your face. Like, you could very easily play this game and not even realize that there was more animals to buy, and I really appreciate that about this game, because I just think
let's talk about free to play. Let's get into that a little bit. So you had mentioned Fortnite a little bit. It's the only other positive experience. Because when I think of free-to-play games, that's the first one that comes to my mind. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've had a good experience. But, like, I feel like there are a lot of games can be very predatory. And
it gives me actually flashbacks to Farmville on Facebook way back in the day. I don't know if I ever played it for, like, more than, like, 20 minutes one time. But, like, just the annoyance of, like, that social pressure of, like, hey, you can get some more lives if you just invite every single one of your friends right now and just, like, bombard, you know, their entire inbox of notifications with Farmville. I remember people getting so mad and, like, you just block people or unfriend people who are, like, spamming you. It's just, like...
Did you ever get into any of those Facebook games? Because I got into one really, really heavily.
You played, what was it, Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Hunt.
I feel like there's a lot of games, like, back when we were in high school where I would, like, show you, hey, there's this fun game. I'd play it for, like, maybe a week, and then you'd be like, I am investing every amount of my being into this without spending money. Like, I remember the other one that we played a lot was Tribal Wars.
Oh, Tribal Wars.
You and our cousin Alex just got sucked in, and you're, like, part of these guilds.
Tribe, actually.
What?
Tribal Wars.
Yeah, but...
Anyways, yeah.
But you had...
We were talking on
forums, and that's, like, all time-based, and it's, like, you have to, like... set your schedule or, like, have people cover for you. And, like,
I remember setting an alarm for early in the morning because I had to, like, send out some raiding party to, like, help my tribe, like, in the war that we were in. And I had to wake up early and, like, get on our dial-up internet.
Oh, my gosh.
And send my attack.
So ridiculous. Like, I somehow have avoided getting sucked into any of this stuff. And I think a lot of it is when I started seeing a lot of just the annoying... I'd be the person. Like, I remember Nintendo had a Fire Emblem mobile game, which was just like a smaller screen, and it was, I would call it predatory, where there's like you could buy more, you know, whatever the stupid
currency
is that's like not clear. You know, it's like you can buy 5 of them for $2.99 or 37 of them for $7 or 2 million of them for $100. And it's like super, you know, it's not like a clear conversion. Try to like, you know, disguise. And you have to like convert that currency into a different currency to buy the thing that you actually want. And just like
that stuff just, that makes me sick to think about those kinds of things. Especially when it's like kids. I don't know. When it's just like, if a game is targeted at kids, and it's like, they're like, oh yeah, this is like a fun thing for to spend my money on. It's like, it's so stupid. It's literally, they're tricking you into thinking that this is worth something. And it kind of makes me a little bit upset. If it's an adult, I will be like, you're an idiot. Whereas for a kid, it's like, I want to protect the kid so much more.
To a degree, the games, they're so socially engineered to be as addictive as possible, the vast majority of them.
There's Roblox right now. I don't actually know anything about it, but I know that it's very much in that realm of predatory.
Social engineering, you know, stuff as far as, like, so many games have, like, you know, your daily streaks. I think, like, Snapchat does that, you know. It's like, it tricks you in a social engineering way of, like, I have to get on here every single day because I've got my streak with my friend. And, like... that aspect of stuff really I despise. Like, I actively, to the point where, like, if stuff has it makes me super mad, which is a funny story. So I have the Bible app, and the Bible app gave me notifications like, hey, you have a 4-day streak going, don't stop, you know, open your Bible and read it today. Where I had to tell my wife, I was pissed. I'm like, to the point where, like, I mean, this is social engineering for what I would view as a good, but, you know, reading your Bible, I think, is a good thing. But the fact that they were using, like, this, this social engineering thing that I associate with, like, predatory, like, sucking you into, like, apps and, you know, being on your phone all the time, I was like, well, I'm purposely going to read my physical Bible, and I am going to
not have the streak.
If they ever remind me to have a streak, I will, like, nope, I'm not having the streak. I can use this reminder to read my actual Bible, but the streak is ending today because I do not want any aspect of my life.
That's so interesting, because I was going to ask you, do you feel like there are any positive aspects of that, like social engineering, streaks, those kinds of things? And I feel like you already answered the question of, like, you really just despise it in all aspects.
I would love to be at a point where I could not have a smartphone. And I'm hoping that point is coming closer. I have a new job, which I'm super excited about. And so I'm hoping that as some things fall into place that, because I just think that all in all, they're an overall detriment to your mental health, your well-being. Like, I think social media is super detrimental to your mental health, to the point where, unless you count YouTube as social media, which I still think is detrimental. I think I use it as a crutch. Like, we talked about this before.
Right.
But, like, I just run away from that stuff. You just feel like you're just sucking yourself. You know, all these time sinks and mobile gaming. I think that's probably the main reason I typically just write off any games that are specifically mobile.
Because it's such a time sink.
Even games that I think are more beneficial, like one that I know both of us have put a ton of time into, is chess.
Yeah.
Through chess.com, they have a really nice app and pairing you up with other people who are the same skill level, which makes chess so much better. And even that, I feel like it's got this pull, this tension, this draw that I'm very aware of.
Maybe we should start a podcast about avoiding technology in video games. And that could be a good podcast for us, too.
Listening to us, turn your phone off and go outside. Yeah,
or go outside and listen to us at the same time. That's fun. But anyways, another one of those like socially constructed things in games, there's whatever, the streak things that you're talking about, but like achievements. There are in Super Auto Pets, there are achievements, and they're very much so, like, it's in the background. There's not, like, I feel like a lot of achievements are in the background. But the only achievements really in this game are getting your pets to level 3, and then winning the 10 wins with a level 3 pet on your
team.
And so... that is an achievement for every single pet in the game. So there's a whole bunch of different pets. And so that's really the only achievement in the game. So going back to that, like, the drive to, like, what you're doing in a game, I feel like a lot of games, I don't really care about the achievements, but for some reason, I got really drawn in to getting all the achievements in Super Auto Pets. And before the third, I guess it would be the second expansion, came out, I had gotten every single pet to level 3 and had won with every single pet at level 3. So I had all the achievements in the game completely done, except for one, which is the sloth, which is another interesting part, a cool thing in games. It's like an Easter egg where it's like, I think it's one in every, like, some absurd number, like 20,000 rolls, you will get a sloth on your
team. So is it even... physically possible, mathematically possible, to be able to level up your sloth all the way?
So there are other ways to level up your animals. Mm-hmm. There are certain pets that will level them up when you will allow you to level things up. But there's also an
item that lets you
an move. Item, yeah, a food called the chocolate, which will give them an additional level up. And I got a level 3 sloth on my team that I lost with it. So I had the ribbon for the achievement for having a level 3 sloth on my team, but I did not end up getting 10 wins when I had 3. So that's how much I played this game and how much I was, like, invested in the achievements. But, like, I've played a lot more than you have, and you probably didn't even interact with the achievements in this game at all.
Oh, I've gotten some.
Yeah, you've gotten some, but it was never, like, a goal of yours,
right? No, never.
What are your thoughts on achievements in games in general and how that impacts the way we think about things?
The first thing I think of when think of achievements is actually, I can't make the sound, but that sound on the Xbox 360, when you would get an achievement, it would actually have like a visual representation that would, like, as it would pop on the screen, and like, it's almost like Pavlov's dogging you, like that you're dopamine salivating. Hit of like, let's get you, you know, hooked on this, like, ooh, I got this achievement. I never was super deep into achievements. I feel like most games, they want people to, like, get the draw of having the achievements. And so a lot of them are just like, hey, did you play the game at all? Oh, you got the achievement. Oh, you got this achievement. Yeah. I think trying to suck you in to trying to spend more time in the game. And so I feel like there are three types of achievements in games. There's the super dumb basic ones are just you play and you get them. And then there's like the stupid ridiculous ones that are like, oh, you spend 10 million hours playing this game and you, or, you know, do this crazy ridiculous thing. And those are, but there's like a very sweet spot of like achievements that are like, oh, I didn't know that was possible, but it's achievable, or like challenging you. I'm more of a fan of like games that present actual physical representations of challenges. I think the clearest example from our childhood was playing NFL Street.
Yeah, such a good
where
game.
Where in the story mode, there'd be like challenges that you'd have to complete. And then if you were able to, you know, you could pick the difficulty level of the challenge. And the harder the challenge was, the bigger the reward to make your team better.
Yeah.
And like I think the one that was most notorious for us was you had to pitch the ball 6 times and score a touchdown, like a full field touchdown.
And I remember it was against it was the Bengals, and John Kitna was on the team. And the reason I remember that is because he played for the Detroit Lions for a little while, and that always stuck in my head that John Kitna was in that challenge.
Oh, you probably play that challenge for hours.
Because it's so hard. That was such a difficult challenge.
Because it was connected to the gameplay, wanting to succeed in the game, not just like some arbitrary like checklist, it was something that we really wanted to do. Where if it was just like on the achievement list of like, if you like, you know, go into the settings and look at the achievements for the game,
yeah,
I don't think we would have spent the time doing it. So I think there's like this fine balance of like actually having a reward,
yeah,
for doing the achievements, which I would never get the desire for like Super Auto Pets.
Yeah.
Well, it's not my style.
I was thinking gaming. Of another achievement that I think is really cool, which was in like Super Smash Brothers, which was like you needed to do certain things in order to unlock certain characters. And I think that's fun, where it's just like, oh, yeah, you did this thing.
As kids, we didn't know what it was, but it was so exciting. Like
your new challenger approaches.
And like the one person who won that match is the one who gets to fight that challenger, and you have to beat him to unlock it. That's some of my favorite memories as gaming as a kid.
Yeah. For Super Smash Bros. Melee, like, one of them is just, like, play the game for a certain amount of time to get Mewtwo. And I don't exactly know what the number is, but it's pretty high. And so I remember literally just turning on the game for, like, 99 minutes and just letting the game run so that we could play against, like, unlock Mewtwo, because we found out that that's how you did it. So we had to be in game for a certain amount of time, and we were just.
There are certain joys in the pre-internet gaming, just like
the Easter egg pops out and you discovered it yourself,
or you get told about it by some friends at school or on the bus. Like, there's a simplistic joy to that like I don't think is possible to recreate now, just because everyone just Googles everything. And
that happens at the very beginning of a game, like when the game just comes out and there's not a guide on how to do everything right away, and you're going into it and you're choosing to not engage with.
The hard part, though, is I don't know, for us, we are very much not on the cutting edge of playing games right when they come out. Like, I think the game that's on the top of my I want to play is Elden Ring. It's been out for so long, and it's still going to be a while before I get around to playing it. But it's like, so I'm going to be playing this game 2 years probably.
People have this game solved.
And so, like, it's just easy to, like, if you come across challenge, to look stuff up, because it's very rarely that I play stuff as it comes out.
Which is, I feel like it's probably nice for the stage of life that we live, like, we're in. It's like, we don't have just unlimited amount of time to play video games like it felt like you did when you were younger, right? Even though we didn't have an unlimited amount of time, because we were going to go outside and play. You only get half an hour to play video games. Yep, and we utilized that to its full extent, yeah, and then we went and played games outside.
It would extend past that on certain days where mom and dad didn't necessarily want us to, you know, bug them.
But anywho, is there anything else that kind of is piquing your interest that maybe comes out of the Super Auto Pets, or maybe about Super Auto Pets?
I think this game actually compares very strongly with my experience of playing chess online.
Explain.
I think there's a significant skill gap in this game. We played a couple games today against each other.
So versus mode is another mode in the game. I'd never utilized it until today. And we played one-on-one against each other.
You wiped the floor with me. I think I got maybe 2 or 3 wins And, like, a lot, most of them were early on, where it got to the point where it's just, like, you would win, like, I think you had, like, 7 health in the versus mode. And you would win, like, 6 or 7 games straight to end the game out. And I just...
Yeah. But I played a ton of this game, and it's something that, like,
but,
I really
enjoy. But that makes me think of chess, where it's, like, if you're playing against someone who is skilled and studied and spent more time on it, they're going to beat you every time. Yep. It's not, like... It's a foregone conclusion on who's going to win the game. And then the other thing I feel like, both with chess and with Super Mario Pets, is there's a degree of, like, you can study. You can watch guides. You can watch people play. And the more you do that, the better you're going to get up to a certain degree, to the point where the natural talent finally kicks in.
Yeah.
But you can also get to a level where it's literally the game plays itself. And it's like, you know all the optimal moves, and there's... You know, just the top level, which, you know, no one gets to, except for, you know, the crazy grandmasters, where it's just, like, such minor intricacies and crazy strings of memorization.
So what I'm hearing is you think there should be an ELO score attached to your Super Auto Pets. No, you're probably not saying that.
I'm not saying that. But I just, and then I think I have a very similar, like, emotional roller coaster ride of, like,
when
I win, but also when you lose, where it's... Especially playing against you today, where it was just like, I just felt just thrashed and beaten down. And
you had played the last couple of days, and you were like...
I was feeling like I was starting to get a hang of things. So we played it a couple months back, was when you mentioned it, and I played it, and I'm like, there's no way. This game is stupid. I don't like it. And then I was like, having a better time, because you mentioned you really wanted to do it. And I was like, okay, I can do it.
Try it. Even if you hated it, though, it's okay to do it.
And so and then it was just like, oh no, I hate this game. Like, just a roller coaster of, like, Suckville to this is better, yeah, to just, I guess, got punched in the face tonight.
I think that's kind of how just competitive games in general will play. If you're playing, like, a one-player experience or a co-op experience, like, you can still succeed even if you're not the best in the world. But if you're playing against somebody else who is better than you, it's like you're not going to win.
Yeah, I almost exclusively play single-player experiences, though. And I think that could be part of it, is I don't want to play a game where someone can just, not necessarily pay to win, but just like, I spent 80 hours this week studying and playing this game. It's like, oh, yeah. I played this game for 2 hours this week. I wonder who's going to win.
Like, yeah. And it is one of the things about this game that I think is very a positive thing about this game is, like, you can just play around sitting on the toilet, right? And I say that about all the games that we've played on that you can use on your phone. But it's just like a nice, chill little game. And if you don't have somebody sitting across the room from you who is playing the game against you, that's like, it's just like, it's some random person out there who, like, beat me in that level. It's like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But it's also exciting to win. I've never felt as, like, frustrated in Super Auto Pets as I have in chess, where it's like, I feel like I can think to myself, I'm so stupid in chess. Whereas in Super Auto Pets, I have felt like, man, if only I had gotten that thing differently. I feel like that's kind of where my mind goes, like, all I needed was that one pet, or all I needed was that one type of food, and I would have been so much better, but I didn't roll for it. I didn't get it.
I feel like you might more if you actually played against the same person the whole way through.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because there's a whole different dynamic of, like, oh, I see what their build is doing. I'm going to try to counter that build. You get this, like, circulating meta of, like, oh, he's probably going to try to counter the build, so I'm going to preemptively change my current build because he knows what my animals I have. And, like, this revolving door of, like, what's available, and then also, like... just mind games of, like, how am I going to change up my strategy based off of his strategy, to the point where I feel like your failures would feel a lot more.
I think that would feel that way if you're playing the same person again and again. But in chess, I almost never will rematch somebody in a game of chess. But I guess the comparison would be a round of Super Auto Pets is like the beginning part of the game in chess. And you're still playing the entire game of chess with the same player that you're playing against. Whereas in Super Auto Pets, each round is a completely random person who's in the same level, the same area as you.
I feel like it actually diminishes the level of frustration, but also I think it cuts out a degree of...
the triumph?
Not necessarily triumph, but just, like, complexity to the game. Like, a lot of chess is mind games and, like, trying to bluff and bait people into certain things. And to its benefit and to its detriment, Super Auto Pets is like, we're not dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you specifically go out and choose to do that with someone that you...
Yeah. There's some other cool things. I watch probably way too much YouTube. We've already talked about the crutch thing. But one of the areas of YouTube that I really still enjoy watching is Super Auto Pets videos. And a lot of them is like, they're like challenge things where it's like, all right, in this lobby of 64 people, you could only have one slot. You can only use one slot instead of all five slots. So you only can have one pet on your team. And so you're trying to figure out what one pet is going to be
the strongest.
And obviously you could stat that pet up and make them get as big as possible. But those types of things are such an interesting like twist on the game that the developers didn't intend, but like that different content creators have done. So with that, I feel like it's about time to jump into our ranking portion of this sucker. I know that one of the things that you said that you wanted to do was compare this with Slay the Spire. You already mentioned how it's a little bit like card game, board gamey, and I wanted to
hear
what your thoughts were on that.
I think they have that similar mode of like, okay, I need to upgrade and like build my deck as stuff comes along. It's very much reactive to what is available.
Yeah.
And then also that degree of like culling of like, there's times where you need to swap off of stuff. I think it's a lot more obvious in Slay the Spire of like, I just don't like this card. I don't use it versus I have a pretty leveled up like level 2 or level 3 pet. But if I got rid of it, I could create a better combo with future stuff. I think that's gets really challenging to know when do I move off when of something that has been working well for me because it's not actually going to work well in the end game.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the cool parts of Super Auto Pets. That it is actually, although it is such a simple game, and the premise is very simple, the complexities to being good at the game is very high.
Well, this game is solely combo building. If you're into that, like if you're someone who is like, you know, deep into like Magic, but doesn't want to, you know, spend all the money or the time that takes, this is, I think, a great alternative to like getting that itch of like, oh, I can combo this to this, or like even just like, you know, theory crafting, or like just looking through all the available animals and just kind of, because it's, you know, you can re-roll. So you're like, I want to pair this with this, and I know I can get this in round 3, and then the earliest I can get this one is in round 7. And so I'm going to try to farm that combo to get this really powerful thing.
Yeah.
But if you're not into like figuring out how that combos work, this game just falls flat. It is all or nothing on the combo building.
And it is interesting because it is that big combo building thing, but it's also just kind of like a cutesy little art style of like little 2D like animals.
They're not that far off of the graphic design from Farmville.
It's
very simple.
Very simple. And I think that it's really cool because of that. It's very simple, but also it is not it's not a grand game by any stretch of the imagination. I think it would be fair to say from both of us that we're going to be ranking Super Auto Pets below Slay the Spire.
Yes.
I think we should compare it to at least the other games that are relatively short, but also the other mobile games. So the next mobile game, if we're walking down our list, our highest rated mobile game is Into the Breach?
Yes.
Into the Breach. We only have two.
Two and a half. Owl the Owl is kind of mobile-y.
Okay. So let's talk about Into the Breach and Super Auto Pets.
Into the Breach is way more my style of game. It has a slight narrative to it, even though it's not super deep. The puzzle mechanics, I feel like the only... I hate to say true way to play Super Auto Pets, but like I just can't imagine not doing the super fast forward mode, which I feel like takes away from like understanding what the heck is going on with your opponent. I feel like you're so focused on yourself unless you lose somehow and then maybe use that nice rerun feature that we just learned about today. whereas I really like the almost perfect knowledge of Into the Breach.
Yeah.
And like just it's more deliberate and like thinky. There's still combo building that you can do, but it's way more simplistic. And as far as like, oh, I'm going to try to make my own team, or I'm going to take, you know, one mech from this group, one mech from this group, and one mech from this group, and see how that works together.
Yeah.
And this goes, the achievements in Into the Breach are, like I was talking about, allow where they have
you to unlock
more stuff. And so it's like the pull, it's part of the game loop of the achievements of like, it draws you in. Like, oh, I want to try to play this unique way because I want to figure out what these new mechs are. I just see the shadows of until I unlock them. And so all those draws, Into the Breach is just way more my kind of game than Super Auto Pets.
So Into the Breach and Super Auto Pets have existed on the same folder in my phone for a while. Like they're in the same folder in my phone, but also like the same folder in my mind. These are the two games that it's really easy for me to just like, oh, whip it out, want to play it. I agree with you on like the fact that Into the Breach is much more of a puzzler. Even though there's puzzle aspects of Super Auto Pets, it's not like I've solved the puzzle. It's I have created my version of this puzzle and hope that it beats the other people's version.
Also, Super Auto Pets, I feel like, is way more swingy when it comes to luck. There's like a degrees of luck as far as like what the enemies do. Like, you know, you could get lucky and they just didn't attack anything that was going to end the game for you. But like, if you're just like, I need this one pet in Super Auto Pets, and you're like doing the refresh, and you just spend all of your money and you just can't find the thing that you need.
I've really mostly felt that in when I'm trying to do achievements. I'm like, all I need to do is get one more whatever dragon and I can get it to level 3, but I didn't get a dragon and I won. I won my 10th level and I didn't get to level it all the way up to level 3 in order to get the achievements. So I didn't feel that as much just trying to win 10, but I did feel it very strongly when I was trying to get the achievements for each of the different pets.
So in my mind, I think Into the Breach is higher than
I like having Into the Reach above it. I think it's much more, I'm going to use the word smart. Just like, it's more puzzly. And I feel like that they do the tactics for tactics games with such precision that I think that it needs to stay above it. So let's skip over Tunic. So Into the Breach is 11. We're going to skip down to number 13, which is Retro Bowl. So both mobile games again. What are your thoughts?
You and David talked about this when you guys were talking about the game. Is like, I actively like football.
Yeah.
It has a connection with me. I play this game a little bit in the hospital when my daughter was born. Just as like a like super easy pick up, put down, you know, in between, you know, after she was born, you know, I could hold my daughter while my wife was sleeping and easily play this game on my phone when, you know, everyone else in the room is just asleep. It was a lot deeper than I remember it being, just as far as like all of the simulation stuff, you know, just trying to get, I think goes back to your biggest complaint was just the season and the games are too long, which is not the worst thing in the world, I guess.
So I guess I can weigh in a little bit. I think that, the aspect of Retro Bowl being a football game has scores a lot of points for us. Just as sports fans in general, whereas Super Auto Pets is a much more niche like game. I'm sure that there are plenty of other auto battlers out there.
I've never heard of one before.
I know that there are other ones, but to be honest, I've never played any of them and I've never like watched people play them. So this is like my only experience with the game. And I have really, really enjoyed that experience. And I think some of that is just like, feeling the satisfaction of like the achievements for me has been a really cool aspect that draws me into Super Auto Pets. And also I watch a lot of people like on YouTube who do it. But when it comes to actual gameplay, if I'm going to like recommend a game to somebody, I feel like Retro Bowl, like it's one, an easier sell, two, easier for like somebody to step into the game and enjoy it right away. And a three, I think it's got there's more depth or more things to do. The one thing that I think is on the side of Super Auto Pets is like, if you get past some of the the downsides of, like, it's kind of hard to step into it at first, you can have a really, really enjoyable time with Super Auto Pets. Me personally, I've played way more Super Auto Pets than I have Retro Bowl. And I think part of that is because there's so much flexibility of different things that will happen each round, whereas Retro Bowl is the same thing every single time. Super Auto Pets is the same loop. You're going to purchase pets and you're going to go fight some other people. But because you can build your pets in a, such a completely different way, because I think in the game right now there's like 400 different pets that you don't have all at your very beginning if you only have the base game. But there's like 400 different pets that you can have, and that's a lot of different combinations, and trying to figure out how each of them works. And the sad thing is, you could probably like say, like, what does X pet do? And I could just say it. I would just know because I play the game so much.
Yeah, this is... I mean, I agree. I think Retro... I think where our ranking system is just weird in that... I think that the Retro Bowl Super Auto Pets is a very close comparison. I can see it going either way. But I think What Remains of Edith Finch and Golf Story, I like significantly better and would significantly would recommend those to other people before Super Auto Pets.
Okay. I think I'm fine with having Retro Bowl beat out Super Auto Pets and have Auto Pets jump down to the comparison with Ali Ali. They're both much smaller, simple 2D games. And this might be the spot where I'm going to fight back a little bit more for Super Auto Pets. Just because of the... I really didn't like Ali Ali very much. And personally, I've probably played more Super Auto Pets than most of the games that we've actually talked on this queue, except for the top ones. And I still am wanting to play Super Auto Pets, where it's just like, it's just a fun little game to play right before I go to bed. But what are your thoughts on Ali Ali versus Super Auto Pets?
Ali Ali, I feel like, is just a positively meh experience. Like, a fun time, but it's not something that I'm, like, going to be preaching the gospel of Ali Ali to get other people to try to play it. Where... I feel like most other games on the list, I'd be like, if you were thinking about trying the game at all, I'd be like, oh, you should definitely had a really good time with it. Oh, yeah, I was like, I mean, if you want to play Tony Hawk, but like on the go and be way simpler, you might be interested in it.
Right.
I just feel like I'm much more middle of the road about Ali Ali. I feel like Super Auto Pets has such crazy swings where you could have a great time with it, or it can be the worst game that you've ever played in your life. And
it's free.
It's free, though. So it's like you can tinker with it and maybe even give it multiple shots. I definitely had a better time with it my second go around, you know, after deleting it off my phone a couple months ago. But not to the point where I think it's going to, like, live on my phone.
Yeah.
So I am cool. I'm assuming that you want it above Ali Ali.
I want it above Ali Ali.
And I think that's exactly where it should go.
All right. That means that Super Auto Pets is our new number 16 on the queue. Thanks for joining us.